Discussions with Ajahn Chuchin in Bangkok, October 2007. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, Anne, John, Chuchin, Han, Peter, Robert, Azita, Ivan, Christine, and Maeve.
People need a certain level of comfort themselves before they ask the question. He may have felt there was some risk in asking a question, in exposing some wrong view.
Yeah, it seems like it's not a discussion or conversation on Dhamma. Why not? We just come to talk about Dhamma.
For a lot of people, yes, they find it very difficult raising their questions or having discussion because of, as you said, a sort of clinging to a sort of comfort or security, and there's can be a kind of mana involved too. And
some
people will only ask their questions away from the discussion or afraid to be wrong. So there are all these factors.
Anything that can help one to understand the teachings, it's all right. Because all adhammas, no matter it's mana or lopa or anything, and if one just keep wrong understanding with oneself, it's no use at all.
Yeah.
No way to get rid of all these akusalas.
Yes, that's right. Let me just start with this one that I think Chuchin tried asking you before. This is one that a monk in Myanmar asked you. There's a question about Patana I'd like to ask, because you're the most popular Abhidhamma teacher in the World Wide Web. Now, according to the commentary, I'm interpreting a bit as I go along, Tejo conditions new Uttaja Rupa. So temperature conditions other kalapas, but I don't know quite what he means by temperature conditions temperature. But anyway, let's say that Tejo conditions other rupas,
other kalapas conditioned by Tejo.
Which of the 24 paccaya would this be included in? Because for the other, like karma, we have karma paccaya. There are many conditions where citta is mentioned as conditioning rupa, and also for ahara. But what about for tejo?
When we talk about any group of rupa which is conditioned by karma, the karma produces it. And when it's citta, produce kalapa by way of sahachata paccaya. And when it's ahara and uttu, we don't talk about the condition itself, but we talk about the Mahabhuta Rupa, all four, condition one another.
So we don't talk about Ahara and Uttu specifically or individually, we only talk about the Mahabhuta Rupa, all four conditioning each other by Sahajata.
Like when we don't talk about Citta at all, and when just the time when the world began at that moment, the Mahabhuta Rupa condition, the Mahabhuta
Rupa.
Beings like animal and human beings, the Nama condition, the Kama is Nama and Citta is Nama.
But in this case, when we talk about the Mahabhuta Rupas conditioning each other by Sahajata, this is occurring at the same time. But what about when it's temperature conditioning other, other Mahabhuta Rupas accompanying it, but other kalapas after it?
Because there is Tejo in each kalapa, so that Tejo conditions the next kalapa.
But if we talk about this Tejo conditioning the Tejo in another kalapa, then this cannot be by Sahajata, because that is only occurring at the same time.
That's not concerned with any nama at all. When we talk about samsara and paccaya, we talk about what has to do with the human being. This is just the nature.
I see. So the reason it's not included in the 24 paccaya is
we don't have to do anything with
nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
Right, because it doesn't have anything to do with the end of dukkha.
Not to end samsara.
So the answer is actually, it's not included in any condition because it's nothing to do with the end of samsara. So 24 pachara only referring to what is relevant to the Four Noble Truths and the same with dependent origination. Yeah. Okay, I think that's the answer.
After the Vidipan, who has to do with all these things?
Yeah, so it's just not relevant to the path is the answer. So the 24 pachara is not meant to be inclusive of anything that occurs in the universe. It's only inclusive of everything that is relevant to us in the end of samsara.
Even ahara, conditioned rupa, concerning with beings. Because even there is nutrition in each kalapa, it does not condition any rupa.
Actually, I think I've heard Ajahn say before that even the 24 is not necessarily an exclusive list of all conditions, but these are the ones that are taught.
I think that many people would like to know the thing that, may I say, is not one's business and forget about reality right now.
Do you think the 24 conditions are our business or not necessarily?
It helps one to see the inertness only. It doesn't mean what shall we do or how can we do or should we do at all. Anything we learn is to understand inertness.
So we shouldn't look at them as an explanation of why things are the way they are. It's
why do we have to understand this moment? Because this moment is not anyone at all. Nama is nama and rupa is rupa. We learn just to understand when it conditions awareness right now, then the previous right understanding can condition moment of becoming non-attached to that which appear to sati and panya will grow. Even dhamma, just dhamma, does one have enough understanding of dhamma right now? And one go astray a lot, according to what one heard from Tripitaka, and cling so much to thinking about those things. But what about reality right now? As long as whisper object is seen as someone, right or wrong. And it's not easy to develop the understanding of just whisper object in a moment, not lasting, never come back. The long way to become non-attached to all these realities. And when reality appears to sati and panya, no time and no word to think about the name of all pachya. So the more one read, the more one know that one just know very little about what's there in Tripitaka and commentary, just words.
I think when you say no time to think of the kind of condition, I think this applies very much to dependent origination too. Because
the understanding, like from this kind of reality to another kind of reality, one can understand what is meant by ayatana with right understanding and awareness, not just by, oh, this condition, that, but it needs the very firm foundation of understanding realities by different ways. To condition the moment of becoming non-attached.
I have a question about samatha accompanying development of satipatthana, accompanying vipassana. We talk about at stages of insight, the samatha is yoked. And I heard you say, I think, that it's yoked samatha or samadhi. Sometimes we use in these contexts samatha and samadhi interchangeably, but actually they're two different chetasikas. Pasadi is not the same as ekagata. So when samatha and samadhi are used interchangeably, isn't that confusing?
I think that even there is pasadi, does it appear, or concentration appear? Even there is sapasati there. And other jetasikas, many jetasikas arise together at once.
So when you refer to samatha or samadhi, what you're just saying is, okay, well, both chitta seekers are arising together, so it just depends on the conditions, what appears.
For example, people would like to have concentration. They don't mind about parsati, calmness. So how can they know that it's right or wrong concentration? Mm. But no need to talk about it when it develops. It's there. Parsati must be there. But panya and other chetasikas like concentration can appear together.
Yoga, samatha or samadhi, it makes it sound like it's the same, but actually quite distinct, different factors but accompanying each other.
But I don't know in that case why I mentioned samatha, if what it was really being referred to is the ekagata chetasika. Be less confusing just to mention samadhi, because when there's mention of samatha, then naturally people think that it means mundane
right.
Samatha.
Right, samadhi, not wrong samadhi. Because of the term samatha is there, samatha must always be wholesome. It cannot just be any kind of samadhi. It has to be kusala.
But if we're talking about the samadhi that is accompanying insight, then isn't it confusing to mention samatha as a synonym for the samadhi?
Even right now, there is samadhi. Who knows?
No one knows.
But when panya develops and just one characteristic appear, one can see. How can that one appear without samadhi? Right then, one can understand that there must be samadhi so that that object can appear just singly, one at a time. Right now, we just assume that there is samadhi with each citta. But when panya develops and when our reality appears to panya, one can see so clearly just one. So one has no doubt about the strength of concentration with panya, right then.
Samatha would only appear with kusala citta.
Samatha is wholesome chetasika. Yeah. Parsati, calmness, concentration is only concentration.
It can be right or wrong. It can be right. Usually it's wrong, so when it appears, it's wrong concentration. So the point of stressing samatha is to indicate it must be right concentration, not the concentration that appears now most of the time. And I find it a bit misleading if we say things like the Buddha didn't set any rules with regard to samatha's requirement for the development of insight. Of course, what's meant is he didn't set a rule that there has to be the development of samatha leading towards jhana as a requirement, but actually samatha has to develop with insight, because whenever there is kusala, there is samatha. So actually when there is the development of satipatthana, pasadi, chetasika is actually developing with it at that degree.
So pasati is pochanga.
It's bojanga, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it has to develop.
Yeah,
so
together.
We can't just say the Buddha didn't say that there needs to be any samatha as a requirement, because there has to be samatha. And sometimes people say, or we say, that it depends on different accumulations whether one applies oneself to the development of samatha. But sometimes it seems we also forget that it's also conditioned dharma, so it also totally depends on conditions, whether there will be samatha developing and what kind of samatha, whether it is samatha with understanding of realities or samatha without understanding of realities. So even if someone never hears about or develops satipatthana, any samatha that's developed is still anatta. It's still not a question of one applying oneself or something.
As long as there is the clinging to the idea of self, I apply. But actually, there is no one at all.
Earlier, you were referring it to pasadi. And are you saying that what is meant is that kusala of other kinds are developed as you go along developing satipatthana as well? Is that what you meant?
No, I'm saying that even with the development of satipatthana, because there cannot be any kusala without samatha. And as satipatthana develops, pasadi, like samadhi, have to develop with it. That's why they are yoked at stages of insight. So it has to develop with it. Otherwise, how could it ever become a bojanga?
Does samatha arise with every kusala jitta?
Every kusala.
Wholesome jitta.
Yes.
Yeah. Not only kusala, vipaka and kriya as well.
It does.
Yeah, because all these are wholesome jitta-seekers.
But Anne's question was, does samatha arise with every...
Pasati.
Pasati. Jitta-seeker pasati arises, but...
You'll have to go back a bit.
Okay.
Pasati.
Pasati is the jitta-seeker that is... calm or tranquility that arises with kusala jittas. But samatha is usually a term for kusala with panya, but not any, of the level of insight.
Anytime jitta arises, there must be pasati jetasika, because there must be 19 wholesome jetasika arise together, including pasati. If there is intention to have concentration, is that calm? So that's why we use the term karma or samatha for only kusala development. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we cannot see why concentration be kusala sometimes and akusala sometimes. Without pasati, it has to be wrong and akusala.
But samatha is not going to arise without pasati, is it?
No.
Pasati is samatha.
It is. Samatha is pasati.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Well, can we have a definition of samatha? It's calm.
It's calm.
And pasati is the same thing?
Pasati is calm.
Okay.
Pasati itself is calm.
But there's pasati with all levels of kusala. So when there's dana, there's pasati. When there's sila, there's
19 jetasikas. When we talk about calm, we mean pasati, jetasika.
So when we talk about samatha, we mean a certain level of pasati.
We talk about samatha to see the different kinds of concentration and kusala and akusala.
So can we say samatha is kusala concentration?
Whenever kusala citta arises, it has to be calm. So when it's wrong concentration, it's not calm. In order to know whether it's right or wrong, calm or not calm, you might take the moment of akusala for calmness, but actually it's lopa, because there is no pasati jetasika.
But when we classify kusala as dana, sila, bhavana, and then bhavana is twofold, samatha and vipassana, in that context, samatha means...
the development of calmness, no understanding of reality as nama and rupa, non-self.
But understanding of
wholesome citta, which is calm, different from unwholesome citta, which is not calm. So there must be panya, which knows. Otherwise, there is no development of calmness, kusala, at all.
And dana and sila are kusala that are formed through body or speech, whereas samatha, bhavana...
Is that bhavana or just conditioned by accumulation in daily life, dana and sila? Or is it the development of calmness, more and more, better and better, from moment to moment? So it can be the development of samatha, calmness.
So in daily life, when there is the development of kusala.
Kusala and akusala arise by conditions,
yes.
By accumulations.
Yes.
Not the development yet, because it just arises and falls away.
The development of samatha in daily life isn't talking about concentrating on an object, is it? Or not like a casino or something like that.
Concentration can be with kusala or akusala citta.
But if it's samatha bhavana, then it's kusala concentration.
Mm-hmm. Or all kinds of kusala is calm, because there must be pasati jetasika arising with each moment of kusala.
But still, if it was kusala arising at the time of performing dana or moments of sila,
yeah,
abstention, then it wouldn't be samatha bhavana, would it? So
no, just have it as samatha bhavana, or just
moment of kusala,
uh-huh,
just accumulation of
samatha bhavana. Refresh my memory. The development of samatha.
Yeah. Tranquility, calmness,
yes,
kusala.
Yes.
And there's no aspect of body or speech in samatha bhavana. It's purely mind or in daily life. There are plenty, plenty of moments of reflection on Dhamma, thinking about the value of wholesome and that sort of thing. Not deliberately reflecting, but naturally occurring,
yes,
arising. That must count as...
You want to count? Or to name, or to call?
Well,
we can say that kusala moments arise more.
I don't necessarily
all
want to count,
yeah,
but I'd like to be able to explain to other people
because
why samatha doesn't necessarily involve a sitting practice. Because
if it's the development of calmness, it will lead to upajara samadhi and appana samadhi. If it's in daily life, it can arise as often as accumulation.
I'm sorry, I guess forgotten or never was familiar with those two terms, upajara,
access, concentration, and absorption, concentration, which is jhana.
Yes, okay.
These are degrees of calmness.
Yes, and that's not the same degree as arises
in
daily life. No, I've never been there, so I don't know.
But in order to know when is kusala and when is akusala, calmness is there,
mm-hmm,
so it's kusala. It's not just concentration that you are trying to have,
yes,
because that is wrong. No calmness at all.
So when kusala is known, it's the development of samatha?
It depends, because you can see that kusala citta can arise more often. That's just common, like now. But who knows how many moments of calmness condition to be more stable, and to that degree that it can appear as calmness. For example, right now, when citta is kusala, there must be pasati. Does it show up as calm? But when it's developed to some degree, then it appears.
I'm talking about beginning, not...
It depends on now, each moment is conditioned, whether it's kusala or akusala, right? Do you have intention to have more kusala with calmness? It cannot be samatha bhavana.
Would you say that the quality of both pasati and wholesome concentration only really show up at vipassana jnanas?
No, not necessary.
It depends on accumulation,
yeah,
what shows up. Because
mm-hmm,
before I've heard you saying that the reason it's
okay,
caused, it's said to be yoked, is because it only appears at that point.
Different thing, because mm-hmm, now we're talking about daily. One can have metta to anyone at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that samatha bhavana? Or by nature, or by accumulation?
Mm-hmm.
See?
Well, in the classification of dhamma, sila, bhavana,
mm-hmm,
that moment of metta is, which of those three is it?
You mean by way of dana, sila, and bhavana, when it's not dana, when it's not sila, it is bhavana,
mm-hmm,
the beginning.
But no panya at that moment.
It depends.
Not necessarily.
It's calm,
yeah,
but when we use the term developing samatha, it's not just daily. There must be panya which know how to develop so that the kusala citta can arise more and more in a day, because with panya one can see the danger of akusala. But by nature, it's conditioned by accumulation.
But if it's just by nature, by accumulations, without panya, it can't be said to be even the beginning of bhavana.
Right now, is it not the beginning of vipassana? While we are talking and having some understanding.
Because there must be some understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a moment of metta just by accumulation.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. Because can we call this moment bhavana? It depends. It's the root of bhavana.
I see.
But can we say that now we are having vipassana bhavana?
Mm-hmm.
No. But without this, can there be
the
vipassana bhavana?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So without that wholesome accumulation, mm-hmm. then there right. can't be any development of samatha. Right. If there isn't even mm-hmm. by nature mm-hmm. that...
The one who is so cruel, can they have samatha bhavana? No metta, no karuna?
When you say it shows up, what are we talking about? What do you mean by show something?
Now, there are many jetasikas right. arising with each citta, yes. like pasa. Does it show up?
You mean, is there awareness of it?
It depends on awareness, because there's so many things in a moment.
Is it apparent?
Is it yeah. apparent? Okay. Is it apparent? Yeah. Is the right? No, I'm just not accustomed to discussing yeah. Dhamma with things showing up. But I like it.
Maybe I didn't use the right term.
No, you did. You did. I just needed to clarify what we were talking about.
Is it?
It's somewhere. It doesn't show up, because it's somewhere in a moment.
Yeah, no, it's a very good term. I just... It was more colloquial than I'm used to in these discussions.
So in conclusion, what people generally mean by samatha bhavana is accompanied by intention to
develop. Especially, and which sees the danger of akusala. And not just that, that person has to know how to develop it too, correctly.
And so we come back to classification, dana, sila, bhavana. That is not strictly
no,
bhavana.
No, not that one is developing with right understanding for several moments that it can condition such degree of upajara and apana in the end.
But still you say that a moment of metta, for example,
it's like if we will classify kusala like now, is it bhavana or not? It's not dana, it's not sila, so is it bhavana?
The beginning?
Foundation or the root. Without it, how can it grow?
Could you not then say, well, any kusala, even any moment of dana or sila, is also a root in that sense?
By way of dana, or by way of sila, or by way of not dana and sila. So it's the development from the very beginning. Because when we use the term bhavana, we don't think about the development from the basic moment. We think of that which develops.
Is developing. Mm-hmm.
Just a related question that came up recently. Punya, pun, and kusala.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the same thing? Just different ways of saying the same thing, or do they have different
We things? Have to come to the direct meaning that they use the two terms.
Mm-hmm.
For kusala, it means wholesome, beautiful. And for bun, it means that which eliminate akusala. So when kusala citta arises, it depends on whether it's really eliminate or not that which can be called elimination. Mm-hmm. But even just a moment, at that moment there is no akusala arising. So for an arahata, no need to use the term bun or kusala, because arahata does not have kusala citta mm-hmm. and no bun, no eradication anymore.
Bun is eradication.
Merit is translated into English as merit, punya, bun, the word tambun.
Mm-hmm. But actually I think we use kusala by this meaning, wholesome, and we use bun that it can wash away or something like that. Okay, we have to clean akusala,
mm-hmm.
but they are similar or they can be used alternately.
Mm-hmm.
But for an arahata who does not need to have bun anymore because all akusala is completely gone. So no kusala, no punya for an arahata. But for the person who is not arahata, kusala is moment of punya too.
When kusala arises, there's no akusala. So in relation to that, it's a merit.
The sangha, in the recollection of the sangha, they talk about it being a field of merit. Punya, kentam, loka,
sati. You mean Aryan sangha?
Aryan sangha, yes.
Yeah.
what does
because the word term Sangha means group.
So in what sense is the Aryan Sangha the field of merit? Does it mean object of merit?
In what term? Development of samatha by way of thinking of the virtues of Sangha or what? Or by way of giving to the Sangha?
By way of giving to the Sangha, yeah. I suppose. What does it mean, field of merit? Okay.
What does Sangha bring you?
Sangha brings me the teachings
and
the understanding.
No
of the
harm,
teachings.
While the other might be different. So, what can bring you more kusala or joy when you give? To beggar, to
I
your
see.
Friend,
yes,
or to the one who deserves, like Sangha?
The reason it's much higher, dana, for example, to give to the Aryan Sangha, is because of the
virtues.
Yes, as reflected in the motive in one's, the joy of one's giving.
Mm-hmm.
What if the person doesn't know?
Or someone may be giving begrudgingly or something like that, so then it doesn't apply.
When we talk about merit and the Sangha, people always talk about giving, but there must be other forms of...
It depends on what you mean by merit. Usually people think in terms of giving,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But what do you feel to see different people? One is kind, and one is not kind.
So that's
see?
Appreciation of...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual giving itself, when one gives to someone who's kind, as opposed to giving to someone who
mm-hmm.
isn't kind, is you're saying that one's feeling is different.
In
so
the absolute sense, no one. We have to come back to Paramattha Dhamma.
So in the example Sukhin just mentioned, if you don't know, like if you're giving to
Aryan,
but you don't know, so then there isn't such feeling.
Even so, the way the Aryan does is different
right.
from the others. It can condition joy and appreciation better.
So is this the same that, because that's the conclusion I came to, when it is said that we intend to kill somebody and shoot an arhat by mistake, why is it worse in this case?
Not like killing an ant.
But if it's a mistake, it's a killing a human being.
Killing is killing.
Mm-hmm. So killing is killing.
Uh-huh. When we read the Pitaka, we cannot get all of the teachings at all. We can understand some part, very little, as much as we can understand. But one can see it in the absolute sense when there is no one. There are conditions for different moments of citta, different level of kusala and different level of akusala. No matter one kill an ant, an elephant, or whoever, the result is akusala vipaka.
So, back to Sukhin's question, an Aryan by mistake,
mm-hmm.
is that any worse than an ant
there
by
There
is
so many things beyond our understanding, mm-hmm. like, can we tell whether this is poison or this is not, just by thinking. So we think our own way, and there are so many conditions for such and such result, which we cannot know.
My example was, you intend to kill somebody else,
some other person,
so that there is an intention to
okay.
kill a human being. So that's different from the ant anyway.
So killing a human
Sorry.
Being is worse
it is,
than
definitely.
Killing an ant. I mean, conventionally I would think so, but killing is killing.
Mm-hmm.
So does it matter?
It will bring akusala vipaka.
Either way.
Less effort.
But according to the text, it makes a big difference.
Okay. Okay. Well,
because of the degree of effort and intention
yes.
involved.
And the good one and the bad one too,
mm-hmm.
like parents and...
Mm-hmm.
Back to samatha and samatha development. One, two more questions. Often we read in the texts about jayati, go and sit alone and develop, or jayati, which refers to development of samatha and vipassana. So in this case, it's to samatha development and vipassana development. And when it's referring to samatha development, obviously it's referring to jhana, to samatha development leading to attainment of jhana. Now, before when we've discussed the meanings of jhana, you've said that when it is jhana with regard to samatha development, it means burning of sensuous objects. And in development of vipassana, jhana at moments of lokutra refers to burning of defilements. And when people have written that jhana, as in samatha development, also is derived from jayati, to contemplate, you mentioned to me before that no, this is only at upachara, contemplating, not at jhana. Jhana just means burning, just this one meaning. But when we read about jayati to develop, does this not include that other meaning of contemplate? Does it just mean burning?
Jhana itself means burning. So there are two kinds of jhana. Aramanupanichana means the development of samatha, and Lakkhanupanichana means the development of vipassana. And also Lokuttara jhana can be called jhana, yes, by way of burning akusala.
By burning defilements.
All Lokuttara citta is Lokuttara jhana.
So when we read about jayati, often in the text, like at the end it says, oh Ananda, go to the root of the trees and jayati, develop samatha and vipassana. What do you understand jayati to refer to exactly? Just develop samatha. So the jhana is not derived from this jayati?
What is jayati?
Jayati means, well, according to what we've checked, it means to contemplate. But sometimes jhana is said to be derived from jayati, to contemplate.
Pali term?
Pali term.
Kumkampan bok, jhana comes from, or derived from, moment of burning until jhana arrives. This is the verb. Jayati is the verb. Yeah.
So here the verb means burning, so not contemplating.
We use the direct term burning, but contemplation with kusala is a kind of burning.
I see.
Okay. A kusala.
So it's actually burning from the beginning.
It's noun and verb. Jayati is a verb.
Sometimes people talk about, for those who have developed samatha to a degree of jhana and who have attained the full vasis, masteries, then jhana can be used as a base. But when I mentioned this before, you don't like the word base, jhana as a base for enlightenment.
It doesn't mean that I don't like it. Yeah. But there are two kinds of people. The one who can attain both, yes, and the one who can attain just one, only jhana or only vipassana.
So it's not necessarily a base.
You mean that we have to develop jhana first?
No, no one's saying that.
So, what do you mean by base?
So, for those who have developed jhana, and for those who have what they call full mastery or have developed the vasis, then for those people, by conditions, the jhana can be a base or like a foundation for
satipatthana?
For satipatthana, for enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy to have jhana to arise at all. And without vasi, which means that you can think about jhana anywhere, anytime, instantly. So, if it is not like this, how can awareness arise and be aware of that? But it's not by intention.
And even when you say so that you can think or be aware or jhana can arise any time.
Like
so
seeing and hearing.
So again, not by intention, but just by conditions, you mean it may arise any time or anywhere.
Yeah.
So it can
for non-attachment to that object.
So the satipatthana is based on the jhana.
Like aramana.
Yes, like any other object.
Right.
It's not that the jhana is used as a base.
No. So this term used as a base is a bit misleading.
Yeah.
So that's why you objected before.
I think what the text says is the enlightenment is with jhana.
Enlightenment occurs accompanied by jhana factors. because of jhana being the object prior to enlightenment. Yeah, right. But when it mentions jhana being used as a base, it
probably
can be misleading.
Atta.
Since there is no understanding about satipatthana and vipassana, one thing that one can do anything, but opposite, there must be detachment instead of attachment from the very beginning and even along the way when satipatthana arises. Otherwise, reality right now cannot appear as it is because of ignorance and attachment. And one doesn't know how much attachment is to this object right now. For example, even in Sutta, it says about chakku vijnana and visual object. We just passed, not noticed the importance of what is visible object. Even right now, just go across all this reality all the time with attachment to some practice. So, no way to understand reality as it is, to become detached. So, if one thinks that one can have it as best, then it's wrong.
So, jhana itself, does it involve some degree of detachment?
Not understanding any reality, but detached from sensuous object only.
It could also be said about, as you go higher from first, second, third, fourth, that certain jhana factors are dropped. Is it a process similar to detachment?
Only detached from sensuous object.
So is this why it is said that those who become arahants or aryans by way of jhana are more superior? That's what I heard. And I was wondering, why is it said that those people who became arahants by way of jhana are considered to have greater pandya?
Because they can have both to the degree of...
But nothing to do with understanding realities.
No. That's why the person who just have jhana and no development of satipatthana cannot have enlightenment at all.
And when we're talking about these vases, before you've mentioned that in a sense even person who has attained first jhana has mastery, vastly otherwise impossible to develop on. So sometimes people say, oh, for those who've developed vastis, but actually what they mean is not just developed vastis, but fully developed vastis.
And what is vasi then?
Well, I don't know.
So skillful in thinking of jhana. So skillful.
So there must be degrees. So it means...
Not just the first time.
No, so very, very skillful. So as you say, it arises as commonly as seeing or hearing arises. So you have to say very skillful in vases, not just having vases.
Thinking, see, who can think about jhana instantly right now? Let's think about your friend, see, not as skillful.
Right.
Even it's not jhana.
So is jhana conditioned by intention to have it?
Intention arises with each moment, but intention is not the Eightfold Path at all.
I'm wondering in the case of vasi, they say that we can enter in and out of jhana by will. What is
because
that?
Because of skill.
And by skill, what chetasika do you mean? Or what do you mean
Horse
by skill?
Chetasikas.
Just by accumulated...
By relations. Development, because now it's calm, but no development of calmness. So,
the
no supernatural power.
Because of the development of panya at that degree. And it talks about, in jhana, for example, the piti conditioning rupas, but we know that in jhana no sense objects are experienced. So how is it known that the rupas are conditioned by piti, for example?
If you don't know, it cannot be known.
So why do they bother to mention it? Because
it conditions such rupa, no matter one sees
it
or not.
Though it's not experienced.
One smiles happily.
So others can see even
one smiles just a little.
Okay.
Pleasant feeling.
Right.
I don't know if I have a question here, but I read the, just a minute, the Perfections. What was it? I was struck by a couple of things. The difference between the kusala of, we've been talking about this before, the dana, sila, and the like, and then the level of perfections, which is with the intention to eradicate a kusala, right?
The 10 perfections? Mm-hmm. The first one is? And second one? I just want whether you'd like to know what is that.
Well, yes, talk about dana at the level of the perfections.
Are you talking about chetana, will, intention?
Okay.
Is it parami? Is intention a parami?
Perfection.
Perfection. Yes.
Intention?
Intention. Wasn't there a right, an intention? I don't mean it in terms of...
You mean determination?
Yes.
Determination or resolution.
Well, no, it's not a perfection if you say, okay, I'm going to accumulate some kusala by giving. That's not.
Determination to develop right understanding.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Her question is, what distinguishes dana as a perfection from dana as just kusala? That's not a perfection.
Dana is kusala.
But is all dana part of the
kusala
perfection?
With understanding or without understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Kusala with the understanding to eradicate a kusala or just give? Can just give be parami or perfection? Just give?
If it's done with the intention.
To give?
To.
There must be intention any time there's giving. So it cannot be parami without right understanding.
Not necessarily with the intention
no,
to eradicate a kusala, but the understanding that
the, understanding
the development of that kusala helps in the eradication
yes.
of a kusala.
Without the understanding, it wouldn't be a parami. Is that right?
Just giving or to give with understanding?
Just giving is not a perfection.
Mm. Because someone just give. And someone will give because one can see how much kilesa one has
yes.
and how much one cling to that object that one does not want to give. Mm-hmm. But one can still give. It's different. And which one is parami and which one is not?
The one with the understanding of eradicating kilesa.
Because someone might want something in return, and that is not parami.
And can there be moments of giving that is a parami, followed by moments of regret for having
different
given?
Moments?
Different moments,
yeah.
Right.
As long as there are conditions for regretting, there can
yes.
be regret.
Just a little bit more on this skill and mastery. Can we say that just as someone who has, for example, developed a lot of metta, understanding the value of it, in that sense they are very skillful in metta, and by conditions metta will then arise often in a day when they're with people, and in the same way someone who has attained jhanas and who is very skillful in the vases, there will be conditions for jhana to arise often, and thereby it may be by conditions of foundation for vipassana or object for vipassana. So this is the sense in which skill is used. It just means arises often because of having been developed.
The development of vipassana is only by detachment.
Because this is the kind of comment that people often make that I find can be misleading. For example, there was a question about whether people today may or may not have attained jhana. And then a friend wrote, we can't rule out that someone may have attained genuine jhana, but even if they did, they could not use it as a base for insight. Not correct? No.
Impossible to use anything as
right.
base for
yeah.
insight.
So just this phrase, to use it as a base, is,
right.
I think is misleading. So that's better just to say that any developed wholesome state, if it has really been developed, this is what is meant by skill, but still no one can
all do anything. All kinds of gosla are based on detachment.
How about talking about the development of samatha as a foundation for vipassana? Can it be used as a foundation? Can we use that expression?
If we say anything can be, not just samatha.
Anything. Anything can be. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
In what sense is it a foundation?
Object.
As an object.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so even dosa now can be foundation for vipassana.
I don't know whether that person means this.
Well, what they're using it for is where the texts refer to those who become enlightened with jhana as foundation, so that with jhana factors arising.
But who knows the accumulation of even oneself? No expectation for anything.
No.
Otherwise, it is not the vipassana bhavana at all.
No, that's
or
true.
We can say the foundation could be or should be parami only, perfections.
I don't think they're saying that it should be this or it should be that, but they're just describing those in the text for whom jhana was foundation.
Yes, but if we understand parami, that is the answer. Without parami, it's impossible to have vipassana.
I see what you're talking about, but when I hear a foundation, I think of, and I think you raised this earlier, something you need to develop first before you can move on. Is that the context in which it's being used? Or is that would be incorrect?
If jhana is not reached and there are not the master's vases in jhana, such as attaining and emerging at any time, at any place, samatha, the development of calm, cannot be a foundation for vipassana.
But this person thinks that samatha bhavana to that degree is the foundation for vipassana? Was he of jhana? What? Like, it has to be the development of jhana before the development of satipatthana?
No, not saying that, but they're
as
just
foundation.
Saying that for those who have developed full mastery, who have skill in the vases, jhana can be the foundation in the sense that jhana can arise just prior to enlightenment, so the jhana factors will arise together with the
by conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were talking earlier about samatha in daily life and moments of metta and so forth, and how it's just the beginning of samatha bhavana.
It can be only daily life, no development like jhana at all.
So when does that daily life type samatha?
Like now, daily life is standing calm right now.
Probably is.
When kusala citta arises, are we now developing samatha, or just...
No.
Okay.
But could there be the development?
If there are conditions for you to develop, then you develop jhana.
We're talking about jhana.
Samatha.
Samatha. But samatha...
Samatha developed leads to jhana. Jhana is highly developed samatha.
Yes.
Samatha, if developed sufficiently, would result in jhana.
No practice. No practice.
No practice.
No one who practices.
Is jhana something that arises spontaneously because of condition?
Not jhana.
Samatha.
Samatha,
so the level of
arises
samatha.
With each kusala moment.
But you just talked about samatha. To a level
well,
of
I was really
jhana.
Asking about this expression, development of samatha.
Yes.
Because the samatha that arises now, the metta or whatever kusala there is at the moment, is a kind of samatha. But we can't say samatha is being developed at this moment necessarily. Ajahn said it depends on one's accumulations.
Mm-hmm.
My question was really directed to the difference between this daily life samatha and the development of samatha. And I was just...
Can we say that this is momentarily samatha?
I think we can, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You described jhana as highly developed.
Samatha.
Samatha.
Yeah. But, of course, jhana is out of the question for at the moment, right?
Well, I think so, but why?
Because one do not understand what jhana is.
Yes.
It cannot be daily life without the development of more and more kusala. For example, there must be right understanding what moment is kusala and what moment is akusala right now in order to develop more and more kusala with right understanding to be more calm. And that is samatha bhavana. Without that, how can the jhana arise? Because it has to be the absorption, concentration on kusala object only.
Does that have to be the precise understanding of the different jhana factors, like the difference between piti and sukha, or between vitaka and vichara, or not necessarily?
When jhana arises, all these factors are clear.
You mean at the moment of jhana and at the moment of reviewing jhana, but in the development of samatha prior to jhana, are they clear or not necessarily?
Not as jhana.
But even not as jhana, as kusala, chetasikas, would they be clearly distinguished?
As what?
As different mental factors.
Mm-hmm. Like piti.
Piti as different from sukha.
Uh-huh.
It seems to me that at the moment there's not even understanding of the distinction between kusala and akusala. So that would have to be the very beginning, wouldn't it, the development of samatha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At that moment, one can begin to understand vitaka. Otherwise, how can there be the understanding of kusala and akusala as different reality, different objects?
Why is vitaka important in that?
Now, no thinking about corpse, death, sila, so forth. But when it's time for the development of samatha, vitaka thinks and thinks and thinks on that one object.
So it has to be clearly known.
Begin.
One object, but reflection on the Dhamma can be the object of samatha.
For example, if you feel uncomfortable, and then right understanding is there, seeing as akusala, and then there's thinking about not having dosa. One can see the change of thought by thinking. And when it's on and on and on, it thinks just one object.
And here, when you're talking about thinking, you're not meaning thinking as we think of thinking. You're meaning just touching that object or connected to that object.
From stage to stage. Even it's not the samatha development, but we can still see the change by thoughts from moment of akusala to moment of kusala.
But there is some level of understanding of
there
the difference.
There must be. At that moment is understanding the danger of akusala.
If kusala and akusala are so different, why is it so difficult to see which moments are kusala?
Without awareness, it's impossible. So one begins to understand what is meant by awareness.
Like at this moment, or this afternoon, we're having Dhamma discussion, so there must be a lot of kusala. Presumably we're all
and here. And lots of awareness, but at level of learning.
But there's also, while this is going on, they can also be thinking about other things, like maybe problems one was having this morning and so forth.
Okay.
So there's kusala and akusala.
Okay, now, vajjita. Kusala or akusala?
No idea.
See?
Changing moment to moment.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't it more apparent that which is kusala, which is akusala?
There are many levels of awareness.
And you were mentioning about thinking. Are you also including vichara there as well?
Or kusala, chetasikas.
You've mentioned before, though, that kusala has its own particular characteristic, and that is
wholesome.
The pasadi. Or is that the pasadi?
All wholesome chetasikas, not only one. Chetana must be wholesome.
Yeah.
Vitaka, vichara, and all which are there must be wholesome.
Is it that even though sometimes there's some recognition of the difference between kusala and akusala, but it's usually followed by tanha, mana, or diti? And we take those moments as knowing. And instead of really developing kusala, we go the wrong way because we think we have kusala and or akusala.
So it's not right understanding at level of samatha bhavana. That's why it's not easy at all to have jhana as object of satipatthana because there's no jhana now.
Are you saying there's no jhana now for anyone
who never have it?
What about if they accumulated from previous lifetimes?
So you know your accumulation.
Yeah. One is not an accumulation. When you say for those who have not had it because no conditions to develop it now, but if they've had it, they may have it again?
All realities are unexpected.
So we don't know from the past what may occur.
Otherwise, there can be no way of detachment at all.
Are you familiar with a term, nira-misa, referring to attachment and aversion in connection with jhana that is not as coarse as pertaining to sense objects and very, very subtle forms of lobha and dosa, but which are not accumulated as anusya? And it arises with unhappy feeling. It's not the latent tendency of aversion. It doesn't perform its own function.
Another meaning of amisa is the sensuous object.
So niramisa means not sensuous objects. So this seems to be referring to attachment and aversion, but not to sensuous objects.
Usually there must be attachment and aversion of amisa. So it's level of jhana. No attachment, aversion.
But at level of jhana, there's no attachment or no aversion. So what does it mean when
it's... amisa, to sensuous amisa. Object.
But there's still subtle attachment.
At the same time,
at different moments. For example, like for the anagami or something like this. Like to becoming or something like this.
Different moment.
So this would be near amisa.